Joan about 5 seconds. Oh, there she goes. Okay, so moving along, we completed scallops. And the next item, I believe, is herring. This should be relatively straightforward. We have to finish up the, there is a herring management track assessment next spring, I believe. And after that, we'll be doing specifications for fishing years 23 to 25. We will be finishing up the submission of a formal rebuilding plan that should be done fairly early in the year. Ideally, we hope to complete the Framework 7 action on Georges Bank spawn enclosures. It's a little bit on hold because we want to have in-person meetings and we haven't had any yet. Other than our routine coordination with the MID and the ASMSC on herring issues, that covers it for herring. I have not heard that there are any proposed changes to Atlantic herring.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Neish. Does anyone on the council like to propose an amendment or any changes for herring? Seeing none. Anybody from the public? Seeing none. Back to the council. Seeing none. Mr. Neese.
All right, moving along. Spiny dogfish. I believe there's going to be a motion, perhaps from Ms. Griffin, on spiny dogfish related to our discussion on Tuesday with Mr. Didden. After she makes the motion, I do have a comment, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Griffin.
Yes, so I did, I think, presage that I had a motion related to this. So, John, I think I sent it to you, if you want to pull it up. All right, so this is a move to amend the priorities for spiny dogfish by adding that the council support a framework adjustment under the lead of the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council. Develop possible additional changes to the trip limit. And if I get a second, I can provide the rationale.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Mr. Belavance, are you seconding that motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Seconded by Mr. Belavance.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. So the Mid-Atlantic is will be considering next week whether to add initiation of a framework to their 2022 implementation plan. And the dogfish motion that we took on Tuesday allowed for a moderate increase through the specification process. But this framework process, while it takes longer, would allow for additional public comment to be solicited. And it would take place after the spiny dogfish research track assessment that is scheduled for this summer.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Griffin. Is there any discussion from the council on the motion to amend? Seeing none, anyone from the public? Seeing none, back to the council.
If I might, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely, Mr. Neese.
Understanding that the Mid-Atlantic Council will have the lead on this action and their staff member will do the bulk of the work, we did not plan for doing a framework under the dogfish plan. We will have to assign a staff member to their Fishery Management Action Team, or FMAT. The staff member will be involved to a certain extent. I don't have a good feel for how much staff time that will take, but it will probably take, you know, roughly a month of staff time to participate in that, perhaps longer. I do think we want to make sure we have a staff member on that and that not just defer to the Mid-Atlantic Council. In the past, the New England Council has sometimes had a different opinion on what trip limits should look like. And in addition to that, the New England Council tends to have a different approach to what sort of documents are brought forward for the final vote than the Mid-Atlantic Council. So I think, you know, we're going to have a staff member there on the FMAT to represent our interests to make sure those things are considered. It would probably, as I mentioned, it would probably be about a month if you're looking at the sheet right now for our estimated staff time.
Okay, thank you for that, Tom. So given Mr. Neese's comments and the motion to amend on the board, is there any discussion from the council before I call a question? Seeing none, any abstention, any opposition to this motion? Seeing none, any abstentions? Seeing none, motion passes by unanimous consent. Anything else on Dog Creek? Seeing none, Mr. Neese.
Hopefully the next one's fast. SBRM, we are not anticipating any SBRM activity this year other than monitoring the reports that come out.
Thank you, Mr. Neese. Any comments from the council? Seeing none, Mr. Neese.
On Red Crab, the only activity, there were some research items identified in the last Red Crab assessment. We're mulling over the idea of seeing if we can find a contractor to look into some of those research questions to provide information the next time we set Red Crab specs. I don't know of any other suggested activities for Red Crab.
Thank you, Mr. Neese. Any members of the council have any suggestions on Red Crab? Seeing none, anyone from the public? Seeing none, Mr. Neese.
Let me just get my notes caught up. Moving on to habitat, this stretches over two pages, so I wonder if you could scroll up a little, John. Yeah, maybe not enough, but that helps. So I think I'm gonna address right up front the one issue that is not on here. There are a number of habitat activities related to what I would call competition for the ocean space. This relates, some of them include aquaculture, wind policy, primarily offshore wind. We spent a lot of time, or to be more accurate, Michelle and Julia Beatty from the MID spent a lot of time working on our comment letters for offshore wind actions, and that will continue to spend a lot of time. We also have other staff working on those issues as well. So this is becoming a very important thing and will be, as Michelle has pointed out, we expect Michelle and Jenny will continue to be very involved with this effort over the next year, given the number of actions that are coming up. So as a result, there's an action here that is being worked on right now, which is over in the right-hand column that the executive committee is not recommending, which is assessing the possibility of developing an action to revise the habitat management areas on the northern edge of Jordan's Bank. As you notice, if you read the executive committee report, we're calling this a postponement. We're not actually killing this permanently, but we're not expecting to do much work on it. The habitat plan development team is currently working on a report. It's near completion. We would expect that they'll probably finish that report early next year, so that would be done for when we get back and resume working on this. There is one item on here that is a little bit unusual. It was brought up by the regional administrator, I believe, at our September council meeting. I know we talked about it at the executive committee meeting. And that's over in the other column, to develop an action to facilitate Atlantic salmon aquaculture proposals in the EEZ. There's a specific proposal that is under, I'm not quite sure what the right word is. There's a specific proposal in the hopper that this was designed to focus on. There's a lot of uncertainty about exactly what we would have to do and how that would be done. So the time estimate here is fairly uncertain. Until we flesh out what that framework action would look like and what it would do, we're not really sure how much time and effort it's going to take. Just as an example, the level of NEPA analysis for that is very uncertain at this point. It all depends on what sort of alternatives are considered. And it also depends on how much NEPA analysis is done for a specific project that is being considered right now.
Oh, okay, thank you, Mr. Yeah, the one thing about this, I'm going to go to Mr. Penney, maybe get some clarity here, but this is the first of its kind to be considered by the council, and it would be my preference that we get involved from the start, because this may not be the only one that comes down the pike, and I would hate to miss the first opportunity. So, Mr. Penney, do you have any clarity for us on what this might entail?
I Not as much as I would like. There is a lot of uncertainty, but in part because, as you said, this is the first of its kind. And so I agree with you that I think, you know, it's important because this is the first of the of its kind, and it will set a precedent for council involvement in any future potential aquaculture projects in the EEZ that affect or that utilize council managed species. I think it's important for the council to set the precedent and set the stage by being engaged and being involved. But in terms of the actual workload, unfortunately, it's still a little bit unclear. We have two aquaculture specialists that, you know, are looking at this issue and are prepared to assist the council developing framework adjustment if necessary. We've talked briefly about the NEPA, the level of NEPA analysis. There is a potential path forward where there would not be any NEPA analysis necessary for the council action, because the council action itself would only effectively facilitate the project should the permits be issued. And in order for the permits to be issued, there would have to be an environmental impact statement prepared that would fully consider the impacts on the entire environment of the project. And so I think we could make a case that the council's action to facilitate this through its regs would simply build on the larger EIS that's done, and therefore no independent NEPA analysis would be required. But that's kind of a preliminary assumption or assertion. So no, I don't have a lot of details other than to say I don't think, in discussions with staff, I don't think this has to be a big lift. But it could be very important for the council to set the precedent.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Penney. So with that, I'm going to go to the council to see if there's any amendments that they want to propose. There are none at this time. Mr. Smith.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mike kind of touched on it. I had a similar question, the one you just posed to Mike, so I'm not sure I have a whole lot more to add there. It's been my understanding that, you know, usually what the council does is what's happening in the highlighted one, two above it, commenting and consulting on proposed aquaculture projects. And I guess I'm still just struggling a little bit to understand what we mean by the verb facilitate when we're talking about facilitating these proposals. Mike already took one stab at it. So if there's nothing more to add, I'll be quiet. But I agree we should be getting in early on these, and I'm still unclear on what it means for us to say we're going to be facilitating these proposals. So if Mike has anything more to add, great. If not, I'm good.
Yes. Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for the question. Facilitate actually is one of the words that's in, I believe it was a groundfish amendment that spoke to the council's role in aquaculture projects that would otherwise be precluded under the council's, you know, regulations. And so, you know, I think you can imagine, you can, so for example, for Atlantic salmon, the council's FMP prohibits possession of Atlantic salmon in the EEZ. Well, in order to possess salmon, even from an aquaculture facility in the EEZ, and bring that to port, one might argue that you would need an exemption from that regulation under the council's Atlantic Salmon FMP. And so there is some discussion in consideration of this in the council's aquaculture policy, in the salmon FMP, the framework adjustment that was written to implement those regs, and in a couple other places that we were able to find that indicate the intent behind these provisions in the council regulations, in the council FMPs that speak to aquaculture, is not to preclude such aquaculture projects from going on, but merely to facilitate them in a way consistent with the objectives of the overarching FMP.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. You all set, Jeff? Okay. All right. So back to the council. Is there any desire to have an amendment here from the council? Seeing none, Mr. Neese.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to point out here with respect to habitat, this is one of the items where, just to highlight this, that there's a negative time balance based on time we spent on it last year. Through a good part of the year, or through part of the year anyway, Michelle worked on this alone, and we added Jenny to help her out in order to work primarily on offshore wind, but some other habitat issues as well. And we expect that support will increase next year, probably from Jenny, but that remains to be seen. So with that, I'm ready to move on to research.
Go ahead.
So this is pretty straightforward. We do an annual update to our research priorities. We're anticipating continuing that, and support to the SK program. Our support to the SK program, it happens early in the year with review of projects. And also later with the review of projects later in the spring, we typically provide people to help with a nationwide review, some staff, sometimes council members.
Thank you, Mr. Neese. There's no changes proposed. Does anybody from the council have any comments or proposed changes, amendments here? Seeing none, Mr. Neese.
SSD, this is pretty standard. This is what it looks like almost every year. Not every year do they help us with the development of ABC control rules, but they have been doing that for the last year or two.
Okay, thank you. Anyone from the council want to propose anything? Seeing none, Mr. Neese.
The enforcement committee has not met in quite a while, but we do still have them on the books, and we do have them available to continue to discuss enforcement safety and EMS issues as they occur.
Okay, thank you. Any comments from the council? Seeing none, Mr. Neese.
So lighting is a good example. That is something I talked about with the executive committee. I didn't explicitly talk about it with the council. We're actually, at one time, we thought that we would be getting a lighting assessment this year, and that's why there's an item up at the top that's underlined as if it's a regulatory action requirement to have 2023 and 2025 specs. But we managed to get that assessment delayed until next year, so we don't actually need to do those specifications. But whiting is an issue where we spent a considerable amount of time last year working on whiting on a number of issues, and we're not anticipating to spend hardly any time working on whiting this year. The only thing we're planning to do is our annual requirement for the annual monitoring report. This is actually kind of important because it allows us to move staff onto other issues.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Neese. Any amendments on whiting from the council? Seeing none, Mr. Neese.
Moving on to skate, on the left-hand column, there are three things, the skate annual monitoring report for one, but the other two are primarily finishing up actions that were worked on or done this year or will be completed early in next year. Primarily the skate fishery problem statement, which you talked about in September. Over on the right, there's a multi-year task, and I believe there's going to be a motion or a suggestion anyway to modify the language in here. Subsequent to September, when we've added this to the list, there was some discussions between my staff and the regional office staff. We don't think at this point, or at least I think the skate committee doesn't believe at this point, that we actually need an action to revise this ABC-ACL flowchart. So I'll stop there because I think the committee chair may have a motion or suggested language anyway to modify that.
Okay, I'll turn to the committee chair. Mr. Olszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I submitted a motion to Joan to amend the 2022 skate parties. You'd like, I'd read it into the record. Moved on behalf of the Skate Committee to amend the Council's 2022 skate work priority from an action to consider revising the acceptable biological catch / annual catch limits flowchart to better account for known sources of catch, to task the PDT to consider improvements to the acceptable biological catch calculation specifications formula and year-end catch accounting to better account for known sources of catch.
Thank you, Mr. Olszewski. It is a committee motion. I don't believe it needs a second. Is that correct, Mr. Olszewski? It's a committee motion, correct?
Correct. It is part of a committee motion.
Do you want to apply any rationale for this?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The revision is just a slight wording change, but uses the PDT's understanding of sources of catch to be more focused on the ABC calculation and the specifications formula.
Okay, Scott, thanks a lot. So out to the council. Any discussion on the motion on the board from the council? Seeing none, anyone from the public? Seeing none, back to the council? Seeing none. Okay, is there any opposition to the motion on the board? Any abstentions? Motion passes by unanimous consent. Is there any other discussion of skate priorities?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Scott. And seeing none from the council, Mr. Nice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Moving on to EBFM. There are really two priorities that should be very familiar to most of you. We talked about these, I believe, at the September council meeting. We're in the process of working on the second one, trying to get a contractor ready. Ideally, we want those informational and educational workshops to be in person because we think that'll work better. So it may be a little while before we get them going. But the committee is also planning to develop and conduct the beta management strategy evaluation, as was discussed at the September meeting. These are pretty time intensive. This will pretty much take one staff member's full time for the year.
Okay, thank you for that, Tom. Is there any suggested changes, amendments to EBFM from the council? Any comments from the public? Dr. Hare.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The Northeast Fisheries Science Center is fully supportive of both of these priorities. However, we likely do not have the resources to lead the development of the beta management strategy evaluation. And so I don't know if the council is considering using a contractor or a contract for the primary work to be done for this priority, or if they are relying on the Northeast Fisheries Science Center to lead the work.
Denise.
Well, I was going to be snarky and say we don't rely on the Science Center for anything, but that is obviously not true. But we understand that the Science Center will limit their participation to the PDT and that we will probably have to find some other way to conduct the beta MSC, either a contractor or support from academic institutions.
Thank you, and thank you for not being snarky.
Well, actually, I could be snarky as well because I called on the committee and Dr. Hare didn't raise his hand. When I went to the public, he did raise his hand. So maybe that'll add to the snarkiness of the whole thing. So seeing no action on EBFM, Observer Committee?
This committee is really on hiatus, I guess. We don't really have any tasks for this Observer Committee planned for this year.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Nice. Is there any amendments, discussion on the Observer Committee itself from the council? Anyone from the public? Back to the council. Ms. Denise.
The next one is the Risk Policy Working Group. Just want to highlight a little bit of the discussion that went on the executive committee about this issue that I think was highlighted by some of our discussion yesterday with the Georges Vancott ABC. I think the executive committee recognizes that there is a need to try and review and perhaps revise the council's risk policy for a number of reasons, not only to take into account ecosystem status, which is something that was first identified by the EBFM committee, but also perhaps to provide more clarity in how the risk policy is supposed to be applied in routine management actions. However, bluntly, we don't have the staff time to take this on. So the executive committee is not recommending we pursue this at this time. I think you might be on mute, Mr. Chair.
Sorry, I am muted. Go ahead, Libby.
Thank you. And I appreciate, because of staff resources, the recommendation that's coming out of the executive committee. I just want to highlight that I think the discussion yesterday highlights the importance that this work needs to occur as quickly as we can, and I don't know when that's going to happen. I, in conversations with folks, have had a lot of differing perspectives on the executive director's memo and the references to the risk policy and the role of the SSC. And I think that there are a lot of questions that have fundamentally go to the role certain individuals play within this process and what's expected of them. And I know we don't have the resources, but I just am saying this to kind of pin it as it should be a high priority as soon as we have resources to do it, because I think that, you know, without it, we continue to have these confusing discussions about what something is meant to be doing and how it should be interpreted and why it's being included as a term of reference if then the body asking to be looked at is being told that it's not their prerogative to look at it. So just highlighting my frustration and concern, but I do acknowledge the staff constraints.
Thank you, Ms. Etrie. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to echo Ms. Etrie's comments here. I think this is really important for us to consider as a council. There was a lot of discussion earlier this morning with Ms. Coyd about climate change, trying to develop more climate-ready fisheries. And I think that taking into account ecosystem status when we're doing our ACL setting is really important. I guess I would just ask a quick question for Tom as we sort of look forward and look for opportunities to provide staff to work on this. Tom, can you tell me which of the sort of expertise areas amongst the council staff might be the appropriate ones to be working on this, so we can get a sense in the future of, you know, where other priorities might be competing for time to do this? I just don't have a sense of who on staff this might be and would like to know for our priority discussion next year.
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question, Jeff. You're asking me to tell you which staff are going to work on a priority that we haven't identified yet. I mean, could you try and pin down exactly what you're looking for?
I'm just curious which area of expertise on the council staff. I don't know if it would be a groundfish staff person. I don't know if it would be someone that works in research. I know we have different areas of expertise on the council staff, and I was just curious from your perspective, what areas of expertise might be best suited to look at this priority?
So I think it depends exactly how the priority is structured. When we did the last risk policy, when we developed our first risk policy, the council initially formed a group that was called the ABC Control Rule Working Group. And the idea was to try and come up with some sort of tiered approach or structured approach to define ABC control rules across the council FMPs. This was very similar, I believe, to the risk policy approach that's used in a number of other councils, including the North Pacific Council and the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries Management Council, at least at one time. I'm not sure that they still are using that approach now. The ABC Control Role Working Group, after it got into their work, was modified to become a risk policy working group. And the end result was a risk policy that doesn't identify specific ABC control rules at all. And this leads to some discussions like what happened the other day with the Georges Vancod about how do you apply the risk policy, because there's no mechanistic approach assigned in the risk policy working group. And quite honestly, the risk policy is open to interpretation. How do we weigh what is a excessive economic impact when there's a requirement to end overfishing, a statutory requirement to end overfishing and to achieve rebuilding? The risk policy really doesn't provide any guidance on that. Our current risk policy doesn't provide any guidance on that. It does propose a roadmap, which is to analyze and conduct MSC approaches to try and get at answering those questions. That's somewhat analogous to the MSC approach that we used when developing the herring ABC control rule. But quite honestly, we haven't had the resources, the MSC resources, until relatively recently to do any MSCs, let alone to get into the magnitude of doing that. So that working group had several council staff on it. I believe it had the person who at the time was our herring plan coordinator, Lori Steele, was the main council staffer who supported it, but also our staff economist, Demet Haxover, was on it. I can't remember if we had another council staff on it or not. Chris may remember that. If you talk about, you know, one of the reasons this is a big issue is if you're talking about doing this for ecosystem status effects across all ABCs, then presumably you're going to get every committee involved, because every committee is going to want to have input on their setting their ABCs. And that means every staff member who supports a committee is going to be involved to some extent. So I would expect at a minimum that you're going to have one staff member who, and I don't want to denigrate this because this is very important, one staff member who, and many of them are already good at this, who is good at running meetings and organizing meetings and making sure that they're prepared and organized. We're probably going to have an economist involved. Depending on how this goes, we would probably want to have one of our people who works on EBF involved, and we may want to have other biologists involved. And then we also invited a number of people to participate in our original risk policy working group who came from the Science Center and from the regional office. If we start talking about ecosystem status and effects, I think that would take heavy involvement when you start with the Science Center, who prepares the ecosystem status report, who's working with the MID on a similar issue. You know, one of the problems with this is when the council was making a decision on how to proceed on EBFM, the regional office and council staff prepared a memo that outlined four possible pathways. One of the pathways was to take into account ecosystems, essentially, not worded the same way, was to take into account ecosystem status and effects when setting ABCs. One of the other pathways was to work on an EFEP. We chose the EFEP, and as I asked when the EBFM committee first was talking about this particular suggestion, it seems to me that adopting this suggestion means you want to do both at the same time. And bluntly, we don't have the staff to do both at the same time.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very helpful. And I guess I just find myself wondering if this might be another place where we might be able to look for some outside consultants or contractors to help us do some of it. But it sounds like pretty much all council staff or a majority of council staff would be involved in one way or the other. And it helps me better understand why we don't have the resources to do it as a priority for this year. So thank you for the information, Tom.
Okay, anyone else from the council want to propose anything? Seeing none, Mr. Nice.
Sorry, I muted myself. The trawl survey AP is supported by the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries Management Council, we primarily provide council members who participate. We'll continue to do so. We're not expecting it to impose any resource requirements on the staff.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Nice. Any comments from the council? Anyone from the public? Ms. Runnebaum. Jocelyn, you're muted.
Yeah, I'm here now, I think. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great, thank you. I actually just wanted to follow up on the risk policy conversation and I guess really ask a question of Tom.
That issue has gone by.
Oh, sorry. There wasn't a public period to comment on it. So that's okay.
I'll allow it. Sorry. Maybe that was my fault. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. I was hoping to comment under it. Thanks for the allowance, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question to Tom. I appreciate the difficulty and the complexity in working through the risk policy issues in addition to a lot of the other complex issues that the council's working on. So I guess maybe to Mr. Smith's point of thinking outside the box of other avenues of pursuing, considering ecosystem and setting ABCs, OFLs and ABCs. I'm wondering if there are other considerations or other avenues that the council can take, especially considering that the Northeast Fisheries Science Center is doing some work similar to this to support the Mid-Atlantic Council. So sorry, this isn't a super well thought out question, but just sort of echoing Mr. Smith's question about alternatives and what kind of support the Science Center is providing that we might be missing out on.
Ms. Denise?
I'm not sure I can answer that question, to be honest. I'm not sure what we're missing out on. I don't know exactly what the Science Center is providing to the Mid-Atlantic Council. I don't know if that same level of support is available to be provided to us at the same time that they're providing support on our EFEP development through the PDT. We already heard that they cannot provide any more MSC support for the EBFM committee. So I don't know. I don't really have a good answer for you, Jocelyn.
Yeah, I appreciate that. This is a complicated issue. So thank you.
There's another member of the public that might want to weigh in. Dr. Hare.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reed. Yeah, I mean, the Science Center does have, you know, efforts underway along the lines of this priority. One of them is sort of funded with some funding from headquarters. And then the other is the continued development and production of the ecosystem status report. And the third is the development and support of the Mid-Atlantic Council's risk assessment. So, you know, when the council is ready to work on this priority, I think the Science Center will be in a good position to work with the council.
Thank you, Dr. Hare. Okay, Tom, let's move along.
Okay, we're down to the tail end here, if I can get my spreadsheet up again. So general comments. It used to be when we got down to this organizational stuff that pretty much all these blocks that say staff time were either very low numbers or completely empty. And the reason is because when we talk about staff time availability, we typically don't include the staff time that Chris Kellogg and I spend on this stuff because we're not tech staff. And for a long time, when it came to this interorganizational work, like working on the NRCC and any of the CCC things, we really didn't anticipate the staff would do anything on those. We've gotten far beyond that over the last year, year and a half. The new assessment process has imposed a number of requirements on us, which has required us to get more of our staff involved in working on various working groups for the assessment team. The NRCC scenario planning exercise is not something that Chris and I can take on, which is why Deirdre is working on it. In addition, the CCC has identified a couple of working groups that, once again, Chris and I are not able to handle. Deirdre is working on the area-based management committee. So I guess my point is this interorganizational stuff is bluntly starting to eat into the staff time and suck up staff time that we used to have available to work on things the council wanted to work on. I don't think that's avoidable. I think we have to do it because these are all important, but I just wanted to make sure the council is aware that that's a little bit of a change from, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago, where we really didn't lose any staff time to these efforts. So with that introduction, you can see the things that the executive committee is recommending. Most of these are pretty much identical to what we've done in the past. We've always participated in the CCC and the NRCC, a little bit of expansion on the scenario planning exercise because we think that's going to be a little bit more involved as it develops. These international fisheries management issues, most of those, if not, well, except for TMGC and the TRAC, the others on here are actually some sort of a statutory requirement that establishes our participation in those particular activities. We'll continue to do this. You might notice a minor change here. It used to be that the Still Wagon Bank SAC was something that Michelle did as part of Habitat. It's not a terribly demanding job, but we took it off her plate because of the demands of the offshore wind and other things she's working on. And that pretty much covers it for the interorganizational activities.
Okay, thank you. Is there any desire to amend here from the council? Anyone from the public? Back to the council. Mr. Nice.
And we're getting down to the bottom, which is the other. Many of these in the left-hand column have to do with protected species issues, either right whales or our harbor porpoise take reduction teams. There's a possibility we'll be getting more involved in the harbor porpoise take reduction team this year. There's a possibility that there might be some sort of sturgeon working group, which isn't mentioned on here, but that's another protected species issue that may come up. Fishery-dependent data initiative, you've heard talked about a couple times. We've had really very little direct involvement with that. We're keeping an eye on it because at some point we probably will. I'd like to point out the one item down at the bottom for a couple reasons. You'll notice it's ranked fairly lowly. This is the outreach to underserved communities. It's ranked pretty lowly on activities by the council, but it's one the executive committee is recommending. This is a issue that is of key interest to the current administration and the Fisheries Service. And we expect, we've already had some discussions at the CCC level, but we expect that we're going to be involved in these efforts going forward to increase the outreach of the fisheries management process towards underserved communities. And that's all I have. Well,
okay, very good. So this is the junk drawer of motions. So is there anyone who would like to amend? Mr. Penney?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'm not prepared to make a motion to amend, but I would like to remind the council, Tom mentioned this at the outset, and I mentioned it in my report on Tuesday morning. I did send a letter to the council, I think on November 30th, acknowledging the new proclamation regarding the Northeast Canyons Seamounts Monument that prohibits commercial fishing within the area, and admitted that we're obligated under that proclamation to implement regulations, and invited the council to take that up as a council action for its managed fisheries. but acknowledged in that letter that if the council does not take that up, then, you know, we would do so under secretarial authority. So I'm simply reminding the council of that letter and inviting someone, if they so choose, to make a motion to amend to include that as a 2022 priority. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pentney. So I just want to remind everybody that after the original monument was declared, it was required by the Department of the Interior and the Department of Commerce. So they were actually required to develop a management plan for the monument within 3 years, and that never happened. This council was asked to take up the similar task or series of tasks then, and we declined. And many of our reasons and our constraints still apply today. So, you know, you're asking us again today, Mr. Pentney, and I appreciate that, to take on the task again. You know, the monument was declared under the Antiquities Act of 1906 and basically overruled or removed the MSA authority from management. So the question is, you know, should the council expend our resources, limited resources, or actually non-existent resources on this project? And if we don't, it's my belief that the secretary will or perhaps might take up the effort and essentially produce the same outcome. So, you know, my question to Mr. Pentney or to the council is, you know, what's the benefit of us proceeding here? And would the outcome be relatively the same if the secretary did it without our involvement? So, I don't know, Mr. Pentney, you want to address that or not? You don't have to, but that's my
opinion. Yeah, no, it's a reasonable question, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, I suspect that the outcome would be the same, as there is, no discretion in the proclamation in terms of what would be required through the regulations. I think the principal difference would be in the process. And the you know, the council's being directly engaged in at every step of the way versus merely serving in a consultative role if we develop it under secretarial authority and then bring essentially a draft package to the council for consultation and let them know what we're doing. We have determined, for example, that because there's no discretion in the action, that NEPA would not apply. So if we're determining that NEPA wouldn't apply because there's no discretion, I think you can interpret that there would be really no difference in the final outcome, depending, you know, given who prepares it.
Oh, okay, Mr. Pena, I appreciate that. I don't see any benefit to the council, but I'll go out to the rest of the council. Is there any desire to amend the existing priorities? And is there any desire to address Mr. Pentney's request? Dr. Sissonwine.
Yes, I actually intended to make a comment before Regional Administrator Pentney brought this up, but I agree with the views you've expressed, Mr. Chairman. I would not pursue an amendment to our priorities to address this. I actually just wanted to very quickly compliment the executive committee for giving priority to the outreach under served communities. I realize that didn't get a lot of votes from various council members, but I do commend you and the rest of the executive committee for recognizing the importance. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Sissonwine. Takes a village, like I said before. So is there any other discussion or a desire to amend the other category or address Mr. Pentney's request from the council? Anyone from the public? Mr. Nice. Oh, hang on. Jeff Kalin, you got your hand up. Jeff, sorry. Go ahead. Jeff, you're muted or you disappeared, one or the other. I'm not sure.
I guess I'm unmuted now. I'm sorry. Thanks, Joan. So I just wanted to thank you, Mr. Chairman, particularly for all the work you've done around this issue and the council. for taking this position. I don't think the council should take up valuable time away from fishery management issues, which you've already addressed in the area of the monument. So I appreciate your decision today, and I hope that the Mid-Atlantic Council will take the same position next week in Annapolis. So still listening in, I just wanted to thank you for having the secretary work this out himself or herself. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Callen. Anything else under the other category? Seeing none. Is that it, Mr. Neese? Until we can filter this out and get a motion to do a roll call vote on? Okay, there it is. Mr. Neese?
Yes. If you, Joan's got the roll call ready, give me just a second. I'm just checking my spreadsheet. In case you're interested before the final vote, it looks like, and I'll have to confirm this later, that the priorities that were adopted, including the changes today, came in relatively close to the staff time available. I think the final number is going to come out. I said we had about 115 staff months available. After talking to the staff after the meeting, I suspect the final number is going to come out somewhere in the 115 to 120 staff month range, which is, if my memory is correct, is probably closest we've come to matching the available staff time to priorities since we started trying to track this. So eventually when we publish this, I'll let you know what the actual result is, but that's what it appears to be right now.
Okay, thank you. So we have the motion as amended on the board. Does it have to be read into the record, Tom, or we've already read all the pieces and parts into it?
I think we've already read all the pieces, so we should be okay.
Okay, thank God. So is there any discussion on the motion as amended before we take the vote from the council, from the public? Any comments from the public? Seeing none, Mr. Neese, please call the roll.
Please listen to your name, answer yes, no for the motion on the board. Mr. Aristat.
Yes.
Mr. Alexander.
Yes.
Mr. Belavance.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Braun?
Yes.
Ms. Etri?
Yes.
Mr. Godfrey? He might have had to... He may have had to leave. I'll come back and check. Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Mr. Olszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Papalardo?
Yep.
Mr. Pierdock?
Yes.
Mr. Penney?
Yes.
Ms. Griffin? Try that again.
Yes.
Dr. Sissonline?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Tracy?
Yes.
I don't believe Mark Godfrey's here. The vote's unanimous, 16 to 0.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Neese. So I believe that concludes our discussion under priorities. Would that be correct?
That is correct, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. So we talked about other business before, but I will afford anybody on the council one more shot. Is there any other business that anybody wants to discuss? Okay, very good. So at this point, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn our December meeting. Anybody want to make that motion? Or you all want to stay for a while?
So moved.
Second.
Oh, okay. Ms. Braun made that motion and Mr. Pappalardo seconded it. Any discussion on the motion? Any opposition to the motion? Any abstentions? Seeing none, thank you very much. We are adjourned and hopefully we'll see you in person the first week of February. Happy holidays to everybody and be safe and take care of your families as well as yourself. So thanks a lot. See you next time.
Thank you.
Meeting is adjourned.
Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays.
Thank you, everybody. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye.